Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball
with Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.
Now, events at the FAI and at Augusta mean we have a shorter than usual Monday Night Rugby this evening. Liam Toland is with us. Evening, sir.
Yeah, I was thinking, Joe, between Tiger Woods, Mo Salah, John Delaney and so many more, you would be forgiven for not keeping an eye on some of the rugby, but we were treated to some quality games on Saturday, on Friday and Saturday. Really, really quality games.
I will come to them in a moment. I just want to bring the mood down first with the latest on Israel Folau, if that's okay. So he's been issued with a code of conduct breach by Rugby Australia today, and he has until Wednesday to respond. I think people in broad terms are familiar with Izzy Folau and his relationship with God and increasingly the Australian public and beyond. April 2018 was the first time we saw this situation arise when he was asked on an Instagram post what was God's plan for gay people, and he said hell unless they repent. And there was huge criticism at the time, and then he responded in the Players' Journal and said, my faith is far more important to me than my career and always will be, but I believe the Bible is the truth and sometimes the truth can be difficult to hear. He was reprimanded at the time. He sat down with Rugby Australia and it was all quiet on that front until the past few days. He put up a post on Instagram though saying, hell awaits for drunks, homosexuals, adulterers, liars, fornicators, thieves, atheists, and so on. And naturally, there's been a huge storm. He doubled down in the Sydney Morning Herald in the last 24 hours, said it's obviously a decision in the process right now, but I believe in a God that's in control of all things, whatever his will, whether that's continue playing or not, I'm more than happy to do what he wants me to do. When asked if the fallout has made him reconsider his comments, he said, absolutely not, I'll stand on what the Bible says. And he said, I share it with love. Rugby Australia have not accepted that. It seems that his contract will be terminated, certainly by Wednesday. Earlier on today, Michael Checa fronted up to the media. He was joined by fellow player and the coach of the Waratahs at the time. And he's chatted with the media for about 15 minutes or so. Here's the gist of what Checa was saying.
Everyone, it's really important that this is understood. Everybody has the right to believe, and we respect that right, believe whatever they like, mate. You know, we're not moral judges of, and like no one should be. Everyone should live their own lives according to what they believe and the best they can. And that's fine, right? But inside of our environments, which are the footy environments, and anyone that's authentically looking at what we do, which is try to, you know, go out there and play the best footy that we can every week and compete and in the sport, right, so that everyone can enjoy it, understands that when you're playing as a team, there's nothing better to watch, you know. So, like I said to you before, everyone's got their own beliefs, and teams sometimes, and in my experience, the best teams are made up of lots of different characters, you know, different types of people, but when they all commit in different ways to each other, in the team environment, good things usually happen inside of the team. And I suppose what we're saying is that's what we want. We want everyone to know that's what our teams in the game stand.
So as long as you remain coach, would you ever pick him again for the Wallabies?
Mate, I think as it stands right now, considering what I've just said, you wouldn't be able to, because going to the World Cup, which is a tournament where, you know, I've been lucky enough to go to one where we were so together in that tournament, the team, which Izzy was a big part of, so together that it gave us extra power. Well, I think we went into that tournament ranked sixth or seventh, you know, and we came out, we made the final, and I think a lot of it came through momentum of the team's togetherness, you know what I mean, and everyone knew they gave a little bit of themselves, and so that could be through a lot of ways. Selection, I didn't get picked. Players who hardly played any games in that tournament contributed to the cause at all fronts. And in any sport, I think, where the team's involved, that's really important.
Izzy's beliefs before, in regards to what happened before, did you one day think that this was going to raise its head again?
No, I didn't, to be honest. You know, we had a discussion at the end of after the last time and made it pretty clear about, you know, his right to believe and our support in that, you know, if that's what he wants, you know what I mean, to be part of the team, you know. And getting out in that disrespectful manner publicly is not what our team's about. When you're playing the gold jersey, we represent everyone in Australia, everyone.
That was Michael Checker speaking today. He was alongside Michael Hooper and the Waratahs coach Darryl Gibson. The Rugby Australia chief, Raylene Castle, has been talking about this naturally. And she said, this is not a religious discussion. This is a discussion around the employee-employer relationship and the values and contractual arrangements within that agreement. She did say, by the way, contrary to reports, that there were no extra clauses added to Folau's four-year contract he signed earlier this year in the wake of that controversy I mentioned from last year. That had been reported, but she said there was no extra clause, but there were a number of meetings, and they were documented meetings, and they were put verbally and in writing to Israel Folau about our expectations. So, Liam, look, Michael Checker, I think, spoke a lot of sense there. I mean, everybody's entitled to their beliefs. Lots of religious beliefs, I think, are frankly ridiculous, and that's fine, and you support those beliefs. But it's not like Israel Folau is going to jail. It's not like he doesn't have free speech here. But it is a privilege to play for your country, to represent your country, and to be part of a team. And it's not a God-given right. I can't really see how Rugby Australia could have handled this much differently.
Yeah, like, I suppose one of my heroes growing up was the phenomenal open side Michael Jones, who played for New Zealand. And religion was very much part of his life, but it was, he had decided that he didn't want to play on Sundays for his religious beliefs. And I think he was accommodated, etc. But that was a personal belief which had no impact on other people, how other people lived their life. And I think that was a relatively healthy outcome in a sense. Mm. What Israel Folau is going through is an entirely different prospect altogether. I think in Ireland here, we're a society that has changed enormously. And in many cases, we're kind of leaders of what can be achieved when people begin to understand how others want to live. And that's something I'm particularly proud of here in Ireland, how even in the last few years, we've dug deep to understand other people and all the positives that's come from that. So there's nothing positive about this. And I think you're right, Joe, that Michael Checker has coined it in a very calm, sensible way. And he's framed it in a very, very calm, sensible way. And Australia have made their decision. Of course, if you follow down all the rabbit holes, there can be hypocrisies all over the place. You can find various different ways of counter-arguing, etc. But for me, I think Australia did the right thing. They addressed it quickly. It would appear that Israel Folau had had an opportunity in the past to try and understand his role as a leader, as a community leader, and what he says does have an impact beyond not just Australian rugby, but beyond and worldwide. You see the outpouring from all the rugby people. There's one or two contracted it, but in the main, there's been an overwhelming positive approach to, no, hang on, tolerance is the way forward, understanding is the way forward, and it seems that Israel Folau is refusing to try and engage in that process. I think Bill Maher, the American comedian, said that the reason why he doesn't follow religion, he's an atheist, is because he didn't follow a book that was written by people who didn't know where the sun went at nighttime. That was his attitude towards it. But I think that Folau, I think he's in trouble because he's unemployable in many ways because of this attitude he's showing.
How big a loss is he to Australia and to Checker? Like, it's a complete nightmare for Checker, especially off such a tough 2018.
Oh, it's absolutely, like, you couldn't underestimate the negative value to Australia in terms of their approach to the World Cup. It completely changes everything. It changes absolutely and utterly everything. And I'm obviously not privy to Michael Checker's tactics, etc., but I can imagine a huge amount of them are built around Israel Folau. He is a truly world-class rugby player, a phenomenal athlete, and a guy who can change tournaments by himself. So in that sense, he's a huge loss. But in lots of cases, again, I don't have an insight into how the team or the squad feel about this, but maybe if they were deeply disturbed by Israel Folau's attitude, maybe this is a positive in a sense. He's no longer being tolerated and the squad can get on with themselves. But as in the pure raw sense of an athlete and a rugby player, he'll be an enormous loss.
Yeah. Billy Vunipola is the next test case. Obviously, he came out in support of Folau and talked about how man was created to procreate with woman and not with man. Saracens have released a statement, really, where it's similar to what was done with Folau last year. They've warned him about his behaviour, said he made a serious error of judgment. He's been formally warned about his future. We're one family at Saracens, open to all. Everyone should be treated equally. We respect and recognise the complexity of different belief systems and understand Billy's intention was to express the word of God rather than cause offence. However, he made a serious error of judgment and shared his views, which are inconsistent with the values of the club. It was, I presume you saw against Bristol, he was booed when he came on, and then when Ian Madigan kicked the winning score, the Tannoy system gave a good old blaring of its reigning men, which was quite brilliant.
Yeah, it was great. Fantastic from any way that Madigan kicked the points to begin with, and obviously the results that impacted. But I think that we have become, I think our own journey as a nation is testament to where people can go when you understand other people's views and how other people live their lives and how we can respect that and accommodate all that and tolerate that. So my immediate instinct around Salah is, can I tolerate it? Is it acceptable that he has this deep-seated view? I don't agree with it. I drastically disagree with it. But am I capable of tolerating it? I don't think so. I think that this goes into another place where I don't think society should tolerate this in any way. How society deals with it, I just don't know. Because in time, when he will look to do a job interview in 5 years' time, and this will forever be part of who he is. So it's going to have a lifelong impact, I assume, for him. And it's a pity, because it's a shame that certainly we've learned how our communities have improved drastically because we are much more understanding and tolerant of each other.
You mentioned the weekend's rugby, and the clock is against us, so I don't want to not touch on it at all. Wins for Munster and Ulster, and then crucially Connacht, a defeat for Leinster. Connacht beat Cardiff 29 points to 22. It was blowing a gale here. Jack Carty kicked 14 points. It was on TG Carr. Try scores included Matt Healy. His good form continues. So they've clinched third place in the Conference A table. They'll play Ulster. I know you caught the Ulster match. The turnaround in their fortunes, Connacht. They have accumulated 12 wins and 61 points with one round remaining. And that goes against 7 wins and just 39 points last season at the end of the regular season when they were just 3 points above Zebre. In many respects, Andy Friend feels like the natural successor to Pat Lamb.
Yeah, well, you think of what's happened for Jack Carty in that time as well. He went from a player who wouldn't have been on anyone's lips, and he's now got capped for Ireland, and he's playing with such confidence. Like, just in general, the 4 provinces played and scored 15 tries at the weekend. So, Connacht scored 4, Ulster 4, Munster 4, Leinster slightly behind on 3. But the rugby that Connacht are playing, I think it seems the atmosphere that's created is more about what can be achieved than being bogged down on what can't be achieved. And Jack Carty is an example of that. That little chip and chase and all that was sensational. Matt Healy has a kind of an almost forgotten man when he got his big breakthrough when Connacht won the domestic championship. He was fantastic in the backfield. So they looked like a team full of confidence. I thought it was a brilliant weekend of rugby. Munster were facing down the barrel of Treviso, really doing them damage. And JJ Hannerin almost single-handedly, with the help of Billy Holland and others, but he just completely owned the last 20-25 minutes of the fixture. And they ran in 37-28 when at one point they were looking like they were going to lose the game. So it was absolutely brilliant. And you have to look at what had happened to Edinburgh. One try against Ulster at home. I thought it was a brilliant weekend of rugby. For all the reasons that you've mentioned there, and it's I'm very excited about the weekend coming with Europe and then into the playoffs. So we've just been treated with such wonderful rugby, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, our rugby coverage is with thanks to Vodafone, Team of Us, everyone in. Munster have given an injury update ahead of the Saracens game. Joey Carberry, very unlikely. They said they're going to take it day by day and make a final call later on the week, which is never an ideal, especially when it's your 10, I would think. And Johan van Graan made the point against Saracens. The more you look, the less you find, because they're so good. A lot of teams have tried various things against them. You just have to look to the pool stages and see what happened in the quarterfinals. What can Munster muster up against Saracens? What is the best approach? And I'm talking here specifically to Munster, in terms of what Munster are capable of doing. What's the best way to go about taking on this Saracens team?
Well, I think for a start, I think not running at their strength. So, if you think Saracens are a baby England, and we know what England advantage to Ireland in a physical power sense. I think that's always the danger. Mm. I think that Munster have improved hugely since 2 years ago. And if you, certainly if you get Conor Murray or indeed Ailbhe Mathieson, with Conor Murray flanking with Lyondell or Carberry, you've got a very, very experienced and competent halfback pairing. And throughout the Munster side, there's loads of skills and talent. Really good scrum. Their lineup maul is becoming more and more potent, and particularly if Klein comes back in. So for me, the question is, can they usually, like, sometimes when you watch Munster, it's almost a minor miracle that the likes of Keith Earls gets the ball. And that's the thing. I think that they can't afford to go into a game against Saracens without getting the Munster back three working and contributing more and getting them into the game.
Yeah.
And that takes, I suppose, in a way, avoiding the trench warfare. We know that CJ Stander can carry into heavy traffic and that, but can they introduce some tip-ons? And even if you look at Benetton and indeed Zebre, The way that those guys are carrying the ball and the variety in it and getting past weak shoulders is really, really impressive. The scoreboards often don't show it, but I think getting that blend of they certainly can meet fire with fire, but can they have a little bit more creativity to ask more questions of Saracens? And if they can, I think this is a 50-50 game.
Right. Meanwhile, Leinster lost to Glasgow. They're in that weird space where they're fulfilling fixtures at the moment, Leinster. They're qualified. They have been for a long time. They used their 56th player of the season at the weekend. Meanwhile, Toulouse 47, Clermont 44 is just insane. Toulouse back on top of the top 14. Like, Toulouse are on a hell of a run. Really, since Leinster beat them at the RDS, they've kicked on again. Their attack, we've obviously seen. Their defence has been talked about increasingly as well. I mean, they beat Racing with 14 men and seem to defend really well. Where are you in Leinster? Like, are you in any way worried? Is this all okay and fine in the context of where they are in the Pro 14? Because, I don't know, against Ulster, things just didn't click in an attacking sense. And then defensively, and the Jacob Stockdale try that wasn't jumps to mind, defensively they're not looking too hot either.
Well, I think that you've got to take into account the 56 players, and certainly against Ulster, there's a couple of glaring issues that we discussed a few weeks ago. I think Robbie Henshaw will certainly...
Yeah.
Like, for me, losing to Glasgow is far from ideal, but getting Toner and Henshaw and other players on the pitch was ideal.
Yeah, so Henshaw got about an hour and Toner got a good bit more.
Yeah, I think that's hugely important. So if Leinster can go in adding in James Ryan and all the other players we know, interesting sub selections, Will Lowe play and all these other guys. But if they can go in fully stacked, it's a totally different fixture, absolutely. Because I think what Henshaw does, he brings the variety, he can truck it up, but he can also do other parts of his game. I think that was missing against Ulster in the quarter final. Along with that, all the way, Leinster have been consistent in a number of fronts. They still can control multiple phases and happy to control the ball hugely. They can dictate tempo. They can slow the game down. They can speed the game up. They can attack wide. They can attack narrow. So really, once they get the full-siders closer full-side on, I still think they're a match for anyone.
Yeah.
But remember, Joe, it's the semi-final. You know, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Any semi-final, there's a huge doubt because of the quality of the teams you're playing against. So I wouldn't be brutally confident. But if they can get a full side out, certainly Henshaw is hugely important. If they can get him and the other guys out, well, then I'd be relatively confident about their performance. But then again, it's all 50-50, isn't it?
It sure is. I think it was Dave Kearney and Adam Byrne at the RDS against Toulouse. Assuming they can rejig things, does Lowe start? Like, who are Leinster picking out wide against this Toulouse team?
Very, very interesting. I'd imagine that Rob Kearney, the two Kearneys got two tries, of course, at the weekend. But I imagine Rob Kearney with 15, you could certainly argue. Look, it really is down to how does Leo Cullen want to play the game, because that's another advantage Leinster have. They actually can play the game in a multitude of ways. Does someone like McFadden come back in? Does Dave Kearney start? I don't think you can afford to leave James Lowe out.
Mm.
But that depends on Stuart Lancaster and Leo Cullen. Are they confident in him at training, etc.? But I can't imagine you could leave him out. So if you're picking him on one wing, then you've an awful lot of quality players who won't even make the 23. We've already mentioned Henshaw, and will the halfback pairing be fit, etc. So But it really is down to how they see they want to play.
Yeah. And the weather's going to be good, by the way. The weather's going to be good. We could be 17, 18, 19, maybe even 20 degrees, Liam.
Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful?
So that'll suit Toulouse as well. Like, I mean, it'll be a completely different game to RDS January.
I think so. But I haven't looked at the time in play. You were closer to the game there when you were giving up the score. But I don't know the time in play and the pace of the game. Again, these are things that Leinster can... They're so brilliant at dictating pace, yeah, taking the pace out of the game. Slowing, like they can do things like line up maul from inside their half. They're happy to go to short line out and just maul it up 15, 20 metres and just suck the pace out of Toulouse. Mm. Whether Toulouse have the overall fitness to keep it all going is another debate, and all these remain to be seen.
Absolutely. You can get your Heineken Star comments in. We pick the winner at the end of the week. Somebody says, lads, could you imagine if Folau was playing in the Rugby World Cup and Nigel Owens was reffing? No way could the Aussie Rugby Union allow him to continue or stand over that, says John in Limerick, which is, yeah, that would be a hell of a prospect.
It's interesting how you say that, because I think Nigel Owens, who's come through a brilliant journey, like, he's an amazing character.
Yeah.
I'd imagine he would be the first guy to put his hand out and try and educate Blau. I'd imagine. I'd be very surprised if he had a negative reaction to him. That's the type of fella Nigel Owens is, and that's the type of fella we all should aspire to, I suppose, in a way.
Yeah, he could handle himself and enlightened. He's an amazing story, Nigel Owens. I only heard it for the last, you know, in the last kind of 18 months, how difficult it was for him to come to terms with his sexuality. There's a few interviews. He did one on Desert Island Discs, which is stunningly good. People should check it out. Went into a really dark place. Anyway, I digress. Liam, we've taken up 7 minutes of the football show, and this FAI board isn't going to talk about itself, so I have to move on. Thanks,
okay,
Mil.
Okay, best of luck. I'm going to switch off because I've had my fill of the FAI, I think, at this stage.
Well, listen, they may need some board members soon, so just get the CV in. Liam Toland, thanks, Liam Toland there. Short break, and as advertised, 7 minutes late. Football show on the way.
Monday Night Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Vodafone, official sponsors of the Irish rugby team. Team of us, everyone in.